Today's gospel reading comes from John, the 16th chapter. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she will no longer remember the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world." The word of the Lord.
I want to begin by telling you and reflecting on a story from when I was in seminary several years ago. I got the pleasure while I was there of meeting many wonderful people, and one of the great groups of people we met was an exchange student and his family who came from Norway, and they came for 1 year to study where I was, and their names were we would say Aronsons, they said Odinsons, but there was Øystein, who was the student. He was there with his wife Tonya and their three children, and we became fast friends, Stephanie and then Øystein and Tonya and I, and we would get together, we would eat together, do all kinds of stuff. Me and him would play table tennis and avoid doing homework. We'd go fishing. He would catch lots of fish. I would catch very few fish. We'd have these great discussions. And as I got to know them, one of the things I really enjoyed about them was how their faith and their hope seemed to be real. It really seemed to color their lives. You know, the faith that they had inside, the beliefs that they had, seemed to actually give them a sense of hope in the world. And that's always something that can be inspiring to see, when faith isn't just an idea, but it's something that actually impacts people's lives. I remember an example of this when we were talking one time, and we were getting to know each other better, and we were sharing about our families, and the wife, Tonya, started sharing about her sister. And sadly, she shared that her sister is someone who's plagued with serious mental illness and depression, and she had been through hospitalizations. She had lived in an institution for a while because it was so severe, and obviously, this condition had been painful to her sister and painful for her family over the years. And actually, I've had families who've dealt with mental illness, so I understand how hard this can be. And so I remember telling Tonya how sorry I was to hear of her sister's condition, and I remember asking her if it was hard for them to be away all the way in America, far away from Norway. And I remember Tonya's response just blew me away in the way she said it. She said, of course, that, you know, yes, her condition is very sad and hard for the family. But then she said, "I just trust that no matter what ends up happening, things are going to be okay." And when she said this, what was amazing is that I could tell that she really meant it. Despite the pain that they had experienced, and despite even some uncertainty about where this was going to go, because you never really know, and I think she knew that too, she still had hope in God that in some way or another, things were going to be okay because of God's love. And I remember thinking to myself, I wish I always had that kind of hope in God. You know, I mean, many times I do, but sometimes when things go bad, that can affect me, and I might not feel as hopeful. And I just remember, I wish I had that kind of hope running through my mind. Well, hope is the theme that our youth actually selected for this service. They've written all the kind of parts they've shared with you, and hope is an excellent theme to think about, because I would say it's one of the central traits to our lives. It's one of the central traits to us as persons, is whether we are basically people who function with hope or whether we don't function with hope. And hope and its opposite, despair, are infectious, right? These are things that we rub off on each other. If you've ever been around a person who's really down, who's despairing, who lacks joy, who lacks hope, I don't want to criticize them. I mean, that's difficult for them, and we want to help them. But that can be infectious. That can suck the life out of somebody, suck the life out of a room to be around it. And likewise, if you meet someone who's joyful and positive and just full of hope, that is also infectious. People can lift up the spirit of a room with their joy, with their hope. Well, what is this hope that can be infectious and that can infect us and can affect other people? Well, one thing I think that's important to realize about hope is that hope is not an immediate emotional state. It's not about how you feel at one second or another. Rather, hope has to do with more the broader story of how we understand life, how we experience life, how we feel about life. It has to do with whether we believe things are basically going to be okay in the end or not. It has to do with whether we believe that life basically has a redeeming purpose, probably in God, or whether we don't really hold on to that kind of hope. And so I wanted to take a few minutes to think with you about what it means to have hope in Jesus Christ and how we kind of make hope a part of our lives, because I think we all want it to be a part of our lives. Like I said, one of the important things to realize about hope is that to be a hopeful person isn't to say that one is always going to be happy. Nobody's always happy. If you were always happy, I'd actually be worried about you, because sometimes sad things happen, and that would mean you don't care very much about that, right? Happiness comes and goes. That's a normal human thing. But hope is more about where we see that life is going in the long run than where it is in any one moment. And this is why I think faith and hope are tied together. Both are meant to bring us forward. Both have to do not just with how we're feeling right now, but where we think our lives and the world are going. And maybe this is why not moving forward, not growing, not being active in faith is one of the enemies of faith. It's very easy for us as human beings to kind of not engage our faith and to not go anywhere with God, and then for us to kind of turn around and say, hey, God, why aren't you taking us anywhere? I mean, faith is meant to move us forward. It reminds me about last year when we invited some guest speakers to confirmation, and we had them speak about whatever, and one of our guest speakers was Sister Kathleen Atkinson. She runs in town a ministry called Ministry on the Margins, and it is a ministry that helps people kind of on the fringes of society. So it interacts with a lot of people who are dealing with poverty or homelessness. It also has a special focus on people who have been incarcerated or are incarcerated or working with their families of people who are incarcerated. And as she reflected on her ministry, she offered these words to our youths, which I thought were really great. She said, "The best way to live your faith is to do it." The best way to live your faith is to do it. From what I've seen in life, I think she's right. The faith and the hope that Jesus gives us is not just meant to be a concept. You know, a lot of times when we think about faith or we think about hope, we think about it as, what do I believe in my head? And that's important. That's a part of it. But I think faith and hope and words like this are meant to be active words. They're words like run or jump. They have movement to them. And I think if we want to reclaim hope, if we want to feel more hope in our lives, maybe we need to reclaim hope as an activity rather than just something we have in our heads, just an idea. And as I think about the way that faith and hope play a role in the lives of kids and in the lives of adults, one thing I've noticed in our young people is that they're most drawn to church activities that offer the chance to participate in giving hope to other people, right? That's what they get excited about. They may not initially, but once they're part of it, they get excited about offering hope to other people. I think about our Mexico trip last year, where we went and we built houses and interacted with people down there near Tijuana. And it was a great trip because our kids really enjoyed the actual work of building houses and giving them to people who didn't have houses or who didn't have houses big enough for their families. They also really enjoyed the chance to make friendships with the people we were with. Many of them were orphans living at an orphanage that we stayed at, and to just see those friendships grow. And it was an amazing experience. And I remember one of the kids reflecting on the trip at the end of the week, and she said something to the effect of, you know, honestly, Pastor, I signed up to the trip for two reasons. One is that my friend was going, and two is that I needed some service hours, and that was really why I did it. It wasn't a big faith thing. But she said, this experience has changed my life and my faith because I've realized I want my faith to be about giving back and being generous and showing love to other people. I want to give hope to other people. That's what my faith, I've realized, is really about. Great example. I think about another recent experience where we actually brought about six of our high school youths to ministry on the margins to help run their night when they had the food pantry open and offer hospitality. And so one of the things they do, obviously, is hand out food, and so our kids participated in that. But the other focus of the evening is, Sister Kathleen shared, is to offer people an experience of love and hospitality. She says, when people show up here at our place, we treat them as if they're the most important thing in the world, which is really different for people who are homeless. Often they feel like they're the least important thing in the world. And so they offer this time where there's round tables, and we serve them drinks, we serve them snacks for the adults, and then the kids get snacks and stuff, and then they can go back to a room where there's toys, where there's a ping pong, a foosball table, coloring, and each kid gets to take a toy. Most of these kids, obviously, are very poor. Some of them, she shared, might spend weeks inside of a trailer with four or five other siblings and just not go anywhere. They don't have many new things. And so to see the joy in their eyes when they'd get to play was just a really awesome experience. So our kids got to be involved with this program, and it was just neat to see the joy of being part of giving hope to other people. And after we finished the night, we asked, is this something you'd like to do more of? And they all said, yeah, this was a really great experience, very meaningful. And so when I see our kids involved with things like this, with giving back, with offering hope, with making a connection of love with other people, I see something in them which really I don't see anything else in anything else that we do. You know, we teach our kids, and sometimes there's some excitement there, and that's great. And we play games together, and that can kind of bring a momentary excitement. But really, there's something in them when they're giving back, which I don't see any other way. And I think what it is that's there when they're giving is that they're doing something in their lives that they don't necessarily get the chance to do anything else. They're getting something in their lives that they're not getting somewhere else in the many things that they're doing. You know, the truth is that I've come to realize over the last several years is that kids, and really all of us, are extremely busy. And in case you haven't noticed, because of this busyness, the role that the church plays in culture has changed. The church used to be the centerpiece not just for faith, but for human connection and for entertainment. It's where people would go, especially in rural communities, to find something to do. It's where you would see people. It's where you would see friends. It would be entertaining. It was something to do when maybe all you were doing otherwise was being at home doing some farming. But hey, at church, you can make connections and you can find entertainment. We still make connections at church, to be sure, but I think the entertainment aspect, you know, people no longer need the church to entertain them. We have lots of other options to find entertainment, right? We have our apps, we have our extracurricular activities, we have our boats, all of our hobbies. The church just doesn't play a role anymore in being the source of entertainment. But I think maybe that's okay because, you know, when Jesus gave us our faith and he gave us our church, the point was never to be the place, you know, that offers entertainment. We're not supposed to be the central playhouse of the community. I think what God and what faith really offers is the chance to offer hope to other people. It's the chance to first off hear a message of hope that becomes part of us, and then it's the chance to teach people and to experience together that overflowing of love and hope and to share it. And to realize that kind of hope that we can share with others is actually deeper than pleasure, deeper than happiness. You know, we're happy and then we're not happy and we experience pleasure and then it goes away. But the faith that we have and the hope that we have in our faith is something that colors longer than just a moment. It colors our whole lives. And so that's the key to faith, and I think that's the key to hope, isn't it? Hope shows up when we live it and when we share it. It shows up when the thing that's going on in our head, the hope that we believe in, actually shows up in our lives, in the way we live with other people. That's not to say things are always going to be easy, and we know they always won't, right? We know that out in the world, there's going to be darkness, there's going to be hurt, there's going to be sin and brokenness. But nevertheless, this hope fills us, and it colors our story so that we don't have to see life as a tragedy, but so that we can see it as something that God is redeeming and showing us a better way in. And so I'll just leave you with this beautiful word from Jesus, which I think reminds us of the hope that colors everything in our Christian story. Jesus says, "In this world you will face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world." Amen.